Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Grace of God. Chapter 2. The Grace that precedes the sharing or the manifestations of the heavenly grace. If a person tries to establish the definition of grace from a dictionary of linguistic terms, one may even regard grace as the expression of a favor made for others. However, this definition falls far short of what the scriptures expose about the grace of God. In the various previous subjects of the series The Gospel, The Good News of God, it has been pointed out that all the characteristics that encompass the gospel only exist because there is also a truly consistent source that makes alive and sustains each attribute of this gospel. Each of the aspects that are manifested to us by the gospel of God exists because each of its parts exists first in God. Although the source of something and what is accomplished with what a source grants might seem similar, the source is different from what has been done or can be done through what the source provides. And this is something that also applies to the grace of God. Just as, for instance, the love of God exists in God even before it has been manifested to us, so also the grace of God exists in the Lord before or independently of God granting it to us. Therefore, grace does not become grace when it is given as a free gift or when it bestows some gift for free. The grace of God extends gifts to us for what it is already in God even before the gifts come to be offered to human beings. Regarding the theme of God's grace, we believe that it is very significant to recall some points mentioned above that have already been addressed in other subjects on the gospel, for as the kingdom, the righteousness, the love, the peace, and the power of God exist because there is a source that grants them and that in God they are limitless and immeasurable, so also the grace of the Lord is unlimited and immeasurable because it too has its source in God, who made the heaven and the earth. The grace of God, as well as his righteousness, is an attribute of the Lord himself and is an attribute that cannot be separated from the Lord. To know and understand more about the grace of God is, then, to know and understand more about the Lord himself. When God shares his grace with someone, or when the Lord performs some action or manifestation of his grace, he manifests what he is and what is part of his own fullness, as may be observed in the text below. John 1:14-17. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The grace of God is part of who or how God is. And it is so united to the Lord that his own Spirit is also called as the Spirit of grace, as mentioned by the author of Hebrews in the following text. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? So, the acceptance of grace offered by the gospel is first and foremost the acceptance of the God of grace himself. On the other hand, the rejection of the Lord's grace is also, first and foremost, the rejection of the Lord himself. Considering that the Lord is the God of all grace and that in God grace does not have limited resources, he can also grant us his grace abundantly. However, given that grace is an attribute of God and that the Lord is the God of all grace, it is crucial to realize that no true grace can be shared in a way that is dissociated from the Lord or through a means that has not received grace from God. One of the reasons why the mentions of the scriptures to grace are continually associated with the Lord. Let us see below two more examples of what was mentioned at the end of the previous paragraph. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Romans 1, 7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God is not an attribute that can be dissociated from God or that has autonomy of action absent from the presence of the Emmanuel, the God with us. When Christ offered himself to us to be the free gift of God that justifies us and gives us newness of life in the Lord, he did it because it is in him that the fullness of God's grace dwells, as exemplified following also by two more texts. Romans 5, 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. 1 Corinthians 1, 4-8. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the grace of God is an attribute or virtue of the Lord himself, it is from whom God is, and from what is his will, that the grace of the Lord can also be understood in a more precise and broader way. As mentioned earlier, just as the definitions of God's kingdom, righteousness, peace, love, and power are not necessarily what humans say they are, but they are what their source says they are, so it is also regarding the grace that is in God. To look at all that the Lord has already done for us through his grace is indescribably amazing and precious, and should be done with much reverence and with great attention. However, to look at the grace of God without realizing that it is a part of the Lord himself, and a continuous source in him, may lead people to be inhibited from seeing the living potential that exists in this eternal source. What the grace of God has already done for us is vital and priceless, but which is so highly significant only because the same grace continues to live in God forever and because it continues to sustain what the Lord has already done through it in our favor. Therefore, it is primarily by knowing God and the Lord Jesus Christ increasingly, as the source of all life and grace, that the knowledge of the manifold grace of God and the living experience with it may also be multiplied. 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The grace that precedes the sharing or manifestations of the eternal or heavenly grace is the Father of all grace himself, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given himself in the fullness of grace to reveal this grace to us, and it is the very Spirit of the Lord, also called the Spirit of eternal grace.